And now our final speaker is Chris.
I'm Chris. I'm an alcoholic. it was so good to listen to the two speakers before me. I get sort of lost in their stories, and I have a lot of identification with both of the people we heard from. I love when someone says in an AA meeting, like, I never felt like I fit in. And I remember saying that to my first sponsor, and him saying to me, well, you don't. You didn't fit in. Your drinking was radically antisocial. It was messy. People didn't want to be around you, and you worked really hard at distancing and separating yourself from the world, and you were successful at that. So you're right, you don't fit in. And part of recovering is sort of like getting back on track. And I love the story about two things that Juliet said. I love that thing of like having made the phone call and really earnestly asking for help and then drinking. And that's part of my story too. Like this, you know, in AA, the suggested format is like what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. And it's a format I have a hard time sticking to because it's not how I experience my my drinking or my story, and it's sort of all over the place. But and also the thing of having a spiritual experience with alcohol. There's a really interesting letter. I'm sure a lot of you have seen it, but before the second edition of the Big Book was printed, Bill Wilson, who of course had written this story about Carl Jung, and Carl Jung's relationship to this guy called Roland Hazard, who then worked with Ebby, who then worked with Bill to get sober. You know, Carl Jung said to this guy, Roland Hazard, I can't help you. You need to have a spiritual experience. No human power can relieve your alcoholism. And Bill Wilson, once this thing like exploded, wrote this letter to Carl Jung and said, is this true? Did this really go down? And Carl Jung said, yeah, you know, and the letter's on, you can find it. It's really easy to... But he says, you know, the desire to drink is so closely related. It's analogous to the desire for a spiritual experience, and that we want to alter our perception of reality. And I believe it's a disease of perception, and I've got it today. So I have very little time, and I have a lot that I want to say. I want to also... Also, I want to thank Sydney for asking me to speak. I believe it was Sydney and Katie and everybody who's done this service to put this this thing together. I think it's sort of like AA manners to thank the people who have asked you to speak. But and also, I was told to thank speakers whether I thought they had anything to say or not. And that's something I still try to do. I was taught manners here. But it's especially special for me to be here at this meeting. It's not a meeting that I regularly attend, as you know, if you guys regularly attend this meeting. But I was here when the meeting started. And so I don't want to tell you, we've heard these two stories, and my drinking story is really messy. And like both of the speakers before me, when I put alcohol in my body, I have no say on what happens next. And sometimes I do, and most of the time I don't, and I have no choice when one of those things, when I'm heading down one of those roads. So I believe I was born with this disease. My earliest memories of being a kid on the planet are looking around at the world and thinking it's not going to work for me. Like what I see happening in the playground, in the schoolyard, and it's just not going to work. I don't know how you guys are doing it, but it's really scary to me, and I've learned that that's called hopelessness, and I had it long before I picked up a drink. And when I found a drink, I was really grateful. I didn't drink to get drunk. I just drank to get okay, you know what I mean? And it looked like drunk to you, but it felt okay to me. Anyway, so I'm 33 years old. My sobriety date is February 11th, 2002. So I got sober when I was 23. In some circles, that's considered young. But I was first exposed to exposed to AA when I was a teenager, and I want to talk about that period of my life a little bit. So I come from, you know, a long line of alcoholics, and pretty early in my life, it was evident that this I had this thing. I was sent to rehab for the first time when I was 16, and I spent a long time there. I, too, grew up on the Upper West Side, and when I got out of this treatment facility, part of my aftercare thing was that I had to go to AA meetings, right? So I had this sort of tenuous grasp on my physical sobriety, and I wasn't quite sure if this was for me, and I wasn't quite sure that I wanted what you people had, and I didn't know, you know, I went to meetings. I went to a meeting right when I got out of that place, and I don't remember what I heard. I heard whatever you hear at your first meeting, and this is the spring of 1995, and I'm on the Upper West Side, and there's a young people's meeting on the Upper West Side, and it's called West Side Young People, and at the time, it was one of two young people's meetings in New York City, and West Side Young People had started because in 1993, and I'm sure a lot of you guys know this, in 1993, the International Convention of Young People in AA, ICIPA, was hosted by New York City. New York City was awarded that conference because there was a need for it. There was one young people's meeting in the city. It was called YES, Youth Enjoying Sobriety, and it's on the Upper East Side. I don't know if it still exists, but I see some heads, so that's fantastic. So it's New York City, right? There's like millions of people, and there's one young people's AA meeting. And this group of young people on the Upper West Side in 1992 formed this big committee. I could be wrong about that date. You'll have to check with Julie, who's here, who was part of it. But they formed this bid committee to go and bid to bring ICIPA to New York City. And what they did was they went and they bid, and they had a 15-year-old kid present the bid package, and he sort of stood up in front of this advisory council and said, I'm the reason young people's AA, this energy of this conference, and what can happen over the course of a year in order to get ready for the city to host this conference. I need that fellowship. It's all good when there's like a 30-year-old in an AA meeting talking about how young they feel, and that's great and whatever, but when you're 15 and you go into a meeting and you see some 30-year-old talking about being a young person or young in spirit, it didn't really carry much water. So this kid got up in front of the bid committee, and New York City was awarded the conference. And that conference was then hosted in 1993, and it was at the Marriott in Times Square. There was 5,000 people there. It was shut down because the dance floor almost collapsed. You know, when I was asked to speak at this meeting, I had to go back to the early days of legal, and I've been on the phone the past couple of weeks with people that I haven't spoken to in 10, some of them in 15 years. And it's been this incredible, incredible moment for me in my sobriety to hear about this energy that was occurring in New York City at the time. Anyway, so ICIPA comes and goes. It's fantastic. And part of ICIPA's commitment, part of the reason they were awarded the conference was because they committed to starting another young people's group, right? If ICIPA comes to New York, we will start another young people's meeting. And that meeting wound up being West Side Young People. And that's still there on the Upper West Side. A couple years later, summer of 95, my friend Julie, who is here, who you guys should bum rush after the meeting because she's a treasure trove of service history, especially around young people's, is asked to speak at NISCIPA. And NISCIPA is the New York State Convention of Young People in AA, and it's hosted by Syracuse in the summer of 95. And so she goes up and she does her panel thing, and she's the young person and whatever. And at the end of the conference, there's no bids. So NISCIPA is going to die. And these arrogant young people that are on fire with sobriety are there, and Julie comes back to New York and says NISCIPA needs a new home, and we're going to bid for it. We start putting together this host committee. At some point here, it's the spring of 95, I show up at West Side Young People, right? So I'm this 17-year-old on the scene. There's a lot of 30-year-olds talking about being young people in AA, and I'm there, and I get tapped to be that kid that presents the bid. So there's all of this sober experience on the Upper West Side, all of these people that had hosted ICIPA and that are still on fire with young people's AA put together this bid. Because there was no bid at the actual conference, the bid session was postponed 3 or 4 months. We get time to organize as a host committee. We throw a fundraiser at PS3 on Hudson. We raise thousands of dollars. We have to demonstrate to this advisory council at NISCIPA that our area will support this kind of a thing. We go to NISCIPA, we go to the bid session, we present the bid, we are awarded the bid, right? So NISCIPA is coming to New York in 1996. So now we have to get this thing together. We form a host committee. I'm elected to be the entertainment chairperson, which basically, at this point in my sobriety, I don't know what the hell this IKIPA, NISCIPA, whatever, they're just basically telling me what to do. I'm the, like, mascot for this young people's conference because I'm the only teenager on the Upper West Side, and I just keep showing up, and they say service is going to keep me sober, so I'm doing service, and I don't know really what's happening, and sure, I'll sell tickets and whatever. We get a hotel. It's at the World Trade Center. We secure the location. We want to do it the summer of 96, July 4th. We think, how cool would it be to have a party at the top of the World Trade Center on July 4th? Let's do it. We approach the World Trade Center. We say, can we rent out the observation deck of the World Trade Center? They say, sure, that'll be $20,000. And we say, no problem. We then go to area. We go to CINI, right? We're part of this area in AA. We go to GSO, and we have to get support from these people. And they say, you're insane. And here's why you're insane. NISCIPA has been to Long Island. It's been to Long Island, and it's hosted by at Stony Brook University in 1994. They don't get anybody to show up. They've got a commitment to this hotel. Area, CINI needs to step in and pay their bill, which is $8,000. So NISCIPA has got a bad name in this neighborhood. And we say, that's fine. We can do better. I can do it. It'll be different next time. Right? Totally alcoholic. Self will run riot. We're going to do it at the top of the World Trade Center on 4th of July. You're going to see fireworks in 3 states. Yeah, we're going to do it. $20,000. Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. The area delegate comes to one of our host committee meetings and says, you cannot do this. You're going to bring AA's name down again in a very public way, because up until this point, nobody in history has rented the observation deck for an event. So Michelle and I, who's the hotel chairperson, I just had coffee with her this week, and she reminds me of all this. She's like, yeah, don't you remember we had to go down there and negotiate and do this whole, and I'm like, I don't remember a thing. I mean, I just showed up where they told me to show up. But we think we can do it. We are, like, scrambling to put this thing together. We're doing these fundraisers. We're renting the Circle Line. We're charging $20 a head to do a party on the Circle Line. These dances, they're selling out. We're doing outreach in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, Staten Island, the Bronx, all over upstate, Rochester, Syracuse. This is 1996. Nobody has email. There's no Facebook. We are putting stacks of 500 flyers in envelopes and going on road trips. We are getting laughed at in AA meetings because we're saying NISCIPA. Nobody knows what NISCIPA is. They don't care. We're talking about these dances. They think we're out of our minds. And the other thing Aria said to us was, you know, because nobody in history has done this, you're going to get media attention, right? It's the 4th of July, and you're doing this big party, and you're going to get the newspapers are going to show up, and it's going to be a big problem. And we said, thank you for your opinion, and we're going to go forward and do this thing. What I want to say about this moment, I'm being a little whatever about it, but I want to say that there's this energy in New York City, right? I'm 17, and there's all of these people that are on fire with AA and fellowship and parties. And, you know, I was talking to my friend John, who was the treasurer for our NISCIPA host committee, and he said to me, you know, at that banquet at IKIPA, there was thousands of people there. The day counters were stormed. The security at the hotel had no idea what was going on. People are screaming. The dance is shut down. The police are showing up. This is like youth enjoying sobriety, right? Good luck leaving that experience and putting your hand up in an AA meeting and saying, well, I'm never going to have any fun again. You know, I'm too young for this. this is like, and this is what we needed. It's what I needed when I was 17. We needed to be out of our minds and doing something. I mean, this is before Red Bull. I'm still not sleeping. It's like I'm all over the place. Anyway, this conference comes. It's Thursday, July 4th, 1996. It's at the World Trade Center, $20 a head, which is a lot of money in 1996. It's totally sold out, so that means we've sold 1,000 tickets. Our security team is given total agency with this event. That means that the security staff at the World Trade Center backs off and says, you guys run this show. This is a moment that will never happen again, right? It's never going to happen again. This group of completely out of control young people screaming, Niski, 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 Pop. You know, they're screaming in the big books and the kids are like all over the place. And the security is like, we're out of here. They hand it over to us. There's kids outside scalping tickets. And at a certain point, we reach 1,000 people. And I don't know who made the call, but we're like, yeah, just let them up. So I don't know how many people are ultimately at this dance on the World Trade Center. You can see the fireworks. I have 5 minutes. You can see the fireworks. It's an incredible event. There's 1,500 to 2,000 people in attendance at this conference, and I'm on the phone all this past week with Dave, our friend Dave G, who lives in LA now, but he was our host. He was our chairperson. Getting all these numbers. I looked on the CINI, which is our area website this week, and there's a page about young people's AA in our area, and there's a page about the World Trade Center, and Niski Pa 10 is not part of that, and we have been dealing with Niski Pa, and we've been dealing with CINI, and we've been dealing with General Service and Intergroup since I was asked to speak at this meeting to make sure that this is recorded, and they are being super helpful, and there's a lot of people who are doing service at CINI that remember this thing. We had an embarrassing amount of money after this conference to the tune of $25,000 or something. I mean, so we cut big checks to CINI and we cut a big check to GSO. We reimbursed CINI for their bailout of Stony Brook. We paid back that $8,000 to sort of try to clear Niski Pa's name and clear young people's name. These people were laughing at us. They said, you're not going to be able to do it and it's going to be a big problem. They were all at the dance. And part of our commitment as a host committee, right, because we're duplicating Iki Pa's experience, is that we're going to start a young people's meeting. So there's West Side Young People, and there's Yes, and there Manny, who's also here today, just reminded me that there's a meeting on West 3rd Street called Young and Proud. And that meeting is sort of a fledgling group, and they're sort of meeting, and they're looking for a new space, and blah, 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 blah. And our host, our chairperson, Dave, goes down to midnight one night with Manny and another guy named Matt, and he speaks. And the only thing Dave G is speaking about in the spring of 1996 is young people's AA. And he's approached by a girl at that meeting who says, oh, I'd like to be a part of this new thing that you guys are doing. Great. The space is found. It's on 25 is where it starts. So we found that space. I was not at the first meeting, but Julie was. My point in sort of saying all of this stuff is that this group, you couldn't pay anybody from Niski Pa to be a part of the family. I mean, by the end of that conference, we were like, get me the hell out of here. I'm going back to the upper. I mean, we were so burnt out on putting this thing together. And there were very few people that were involved with Niski Pa that wound up being sort of early members of the group. But there are some, and Manny is here, and there's a lot of other people. They're all on Facebook. I'm friends with all of them. We've been on the phone. I think it's an important thing for the group. My sobriety has been about finding out facts and dealing with facts and addressing the facts. And this meeting was born out of this energy that was about service, and it was about fellowship, and it was about making sure that when some 16-year-old kid walked into a meeting, there was another 16-year-old kid saying, let me tell you my story. And I'm not a 16-year-old kid anymore, but I want to thank you for the fact that this meeting still exists. Thank you for sponsoring people in this group. Thank you for putting money in this basket, and for doing service and for literature and hanging up your balloons and doing this thing and for all the things that you do, because the early days of this group have such an incredible history and so much experience rooted in service and sober and asking for help and saying, I've never done this. And that's what this was born out of. And my sense is that you guys are still doing that. I mean, the way people applaud in a young people's meeting is different. It's, you know, the screaming, that energy is infectious. And I'm grateful it's still here. And thank you for your sobriety. Thank you.